Rise. Children, you are dismissed to go with Miss Amanda. Have fun. Title of the message this morning is, Do You Have an Answer? And by the end of this sermon, hopefully you will have an answer for why you believe. You know, a Sunday school teacher was teaching her class about faith and always being ready to give an answer for what we believe. So she decided to test the kids. And the teacher says, All right, kids, let's see who can answer this question. What small, furry, has a bushy tail and climbs trees? Well, the kids sat there until this one boy in the back named John raised his hand. And he said, Well, it sounds like a squirrel, but since we're in church, I'm going to say the answer is Jesus. Moral of the story, sometimes we're so focused on giving the right spiritual answer that we miss the obvious answer. But when it comes to sharing our faith, we need to be ready with real, thoughtful answers. Today we're back in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Well, Acts was written by a physician named Luke, and he was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, and he's the guy who wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the gospel according to Luke. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? And so they said, Into John's baptism. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And now the men were about 12 in all. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to your word, we ask that you would make it alive, that you would use it to cut us deep to the heart, that we would be able to get rid of those things which are displeasing to you and walk in a way that is holy, that is righteous, that is right living before you. Lord, we know that this world can be harsh, and we know that this life can be mean, but Lord, we know that you are good, and we know that you walk with us, and you shed your love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you do not leave us as orphans, but that you have come to us, that you live in our hearts and in our minds. And so we receive this word with thankfulness and grace in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Have an answer for everyone about your faith. And make sure you're giving and believing the full gospel of Christ. Number one, enthusiastically have an answer for those who ask about your faith. Look at verse 24 again. It says, Meanwhile, A Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. And they wrote to the believers there, asking them to welcome him. And when he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit to those who by God's grace had believed. And he refuted the Jews with powerful arguments in public debate. Using the scriptures, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah. So now we have a new guy, and he comes on the scene. And his name is Apollos, and we know that he is a Jew. And most of the church at this time is made up of Jews because salvation comes through the Jewish line, because Jesus, believe it or not, is Jewish. You see, the idea of the Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed surfer Jesus that we see depicted in a lot of our images in Christendom is pretty inaccurate. You see, he was a Jew. Here's what we know about Apollos, though. We know that he will stay in Ephesus for only a short time at this point, and we know that he is a good speaker. We also know that he is not an Ephesus native, but he is from Alexandria, which is in Egypt. And we know he had been taught about Jesus in the Old Testament scriptures, and that he was a very excitable preacher. I like to think he was excitable as I am, but he was probably more so. But he knew only of John's baptism. So what was John's baptism? Well, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, looking forward to the coming Savior, the Messiah. And so Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside, and they explain to him the difference between the baptism of Jesus and the baptism of John. You see, the baptism of John was looking forward to a coming event, whereas the baptism of Jesus is a spiritual command given to all believers: be baptized. It's the first thing that Jesus asks of us after we come to him for salvation. He asks us to be baptized in water. The baptism of Jesus identifies us with Christ, and it is a command by Christ to have done. Baptism in Christ represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's a spiritual act of worship and service before our God. So what happens when one is baptized and is not a true believer? Well, I've got a little saying for a situation like that. You went into the waters of baptism as a dry sinner, and you came up a wet sinner if you're not saved. Nothing has changed because you're not a Christian yet. Baptism in Christ is for the believer. We're commanded to be baptized, and we're commanded to baptize believer by Jesus himself in the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So after all this, Apollos moves on to another city where he debates the Jews and he refutes them using arguments from what? From the scriptures. That is, all they had at the time was the Old Testament. And I'm sure that went over like a ton of bricks for those Jewish folks. But you see, we are commanded to have an answer for everyone and anyone who asks us why we believe. Instead, according to 1 Peter 3:15, it says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Remember, Apollos was an enthusiastic person about his faith. He was passionate, and he always had an answer for those who asked or wanted to debate about Jesus. You know, that should be each and every one of us. We should be like Apollos. We should be enthusiastic and ready to have an answer and be able to defend the gospel when necessary. And this is why knowing the scriptures is so important, because someone's eternal salvation may rest on our ability to defend and answer about our faith. You know, no one wants to be that guy when you go and talk to somebody and you're not enthusiastic. And you go, you want to be a Christian so you can be as happy as me? Well, no, I don't want to be a Christian. You're not very happy. Why do I need that? You know, after a church picnic, a child shouted out, "When I want to grow up, I want to be like Uncle Bob because he always has the best stories about God." That enthusiasm reminds us that our joy in sharing our faith can inspire others, especially when we let our excitement shine through us. Even simple interactions can spark interest in what we believe as Christians. Number two. Make sure that when you are giving the gospel, that you are giving the gospel. That you are believing the full gospel message. It's not just about his death, but his resurrection, because that's where our hope is. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And so they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. And that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And now the men were about 12 in all." So at this time, Apollos is in Corinth, and Paul comes to Ephesus, and he finds about 12 folks there that are looking toward the Messiah. How many disciples were of Jesus? There were 12. Well, here's 12 more that are looking for Jesus. But they weren't saved yet because they didn't have the information about Jesus or the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were looking forward to the Messiah still. So again, they have the information about John's baptism for the looking forward of the time. Their initial response is that, no, they haven't heard anything about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They haven't heard anything about the coming of the Lord. You know what this tells us? It tells us that it is possible that not everyone in churches around the world will end up in heaven. You mean to tell me that just because you go to church, just because you serve in a church, doesn't mean that you're going to end up in heaven? Yes. It means you can be religious and sincere in your beliefs, and yet because there is no other way to heaven than through Jesus, you can die and go to hell. It means you can sit in a pew week after week, but if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can die and go to hell. What will you say on that day when Jesus comes? What will you say? Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Oh, you can be a good New Ager or Buddhist or Muslim or whatever you want to be, but because you don't have Jesus, you're not going to be in heaven. Make sure that you have Jesus and make sure that he has you. Matthew 7:21 is a very sobering point of scripture. And it says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. And let me also add that I can know about Jesus and not know Jesus. What? What does that mean? Well, let me give you an example. I can know a lot about someone. I can know facts and figures, but have no personal relationship with them. True salvation comes from repentance in Christ and receiving of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, then you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't deny it. You can't say, well, I don't want the Holy Spirit. No, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit when you're saved. He is the down payment for our salvation. You know, somebody said to me once, and I think this came up on Wednesday night actually, I can say all day long I'm a refrigerator, but it don't make me a refrigerator. I can put food in my mouth all day long and say I'm a refrigerator, but it ain't gonna make me a refrigerator. What's gonna make me a Christian? Jesus. He is the only one who can make you a Christian. That's by receiving Him, submitting to Him, and being changed by Him. Now, here's another thing that came up. It says that all these men, these 12 disciples, spoke in tongues and prophesied. What does that mean? Well, they spoke in languages they had never learned. It came because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Well, does that mean that we all should speak in tongues and prophesy? Well, the answer is no. Then what does the scripture say? What about this scripture? It just means that when they did receive the Holy Spirit upon salvation, that these particular believers, these individuals, happened to speak in tongues and prophesy. It is not a normative event. It is not a normative cause or reaction. How do we know this? Well, Paul asks us this. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And if we go further, the more excellent way that Paul is referring to is the way of love. It is agape. The kind of love that says, I choose to love you because I choose to and for no other reason. There are three kinds of love in the scriptures. There is eros, which is a love between a man and a woman. And there is phileo, there is brotherly love. Which, by the way, is where we get the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And then there is agape, the highest kind of love. That's God's kind of love. I choose to love you because I choose to. The Bible says, while we were yet in enmity with God, Christ died for us. So what does love look like in your life? Well, the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians will tell you that, but so will the chapter on the fruit of the Spirit. The best way to test yourself or even someone else to see if they're a true Christian, to see if you're in the faith, is through the fruit of the Spirit. Does your life bear fruit of a life changed by the power of the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Imagine driving toward a new bridge that looks impressive from a distance. That's an impressive bridge. Out where I live in Paisley, there's a new bridge that leads from Highway 42 to 44. And right as you come over 44, it goes over the St. John's River. Now, that's an impressive looking bridge. You see, before we had this little drawbridge. Now this thing goes way up. Don't need the drawbridge. It's impressive. But imagine you see this impressive bridge and you get closer. And you realize that the bridge stops halfway across the river and goes no further. It was started, but it was never completed. Would you trust it to get you safely to the other side? You know, I don't think I would. That's like the disciples in Acts 19. They had part of the truth. They knew of repentance through John's baptism, but they had not yet embraced the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Without Christ and the Holy Spirit, their faith was incomplete. Just like an unfinished bridge that cannot take you to your destination. You know, many people today have a partial faith. They believe there is a God, and they believe in God, and maybe they even try to live a moral life, but without Jesus, it's spinning your wheels. Without Jesus, you're getting halfway across the bridge and no further. You must have Jesus, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. Without Jesus, your spiritual journey is unfinished, just like that bridge. Number three. We're to have an answer for everyone about our faith and make sure that we are believing and giving the full gospel message. I heard somebody giving a testimony